In society's eyes, events become spiritual only in church or during times of crisis and transition. But the soul journey is a constant in everyone's life. Your typical attitudes, along with the emotions you cannot shake, indicate in a subtle way that spiritual issues are churning at a deeper level. What is the mark of someone who moves very quickly on the path? It may seem to be a paradox, but the more turbulent you are inside, the faster you're moving. Ferment is good. Not buying into your own story is good. Krishnamurti used to say that discontent was the flame of the seeker. Meher Baba, an Indian master aligned with Sufism, taught that the only prerequisite for waking up was total disillusionment. Why? Because the whole notion that you are a fixed entity is a great illusion. And the sooner you see how varied and complex you are, the sooner you will drop the masks of your ego. You and I are nothing but saints in the making. On a spiritual basis, being good is never wrong. But in terms of sheer effectiveness, with the fewest obstacles, adopting the right belief is much more powerful. As the first principle says, evolution cannot be stopped. You have a basis for letting go of the past and giving yourself a second chance at anything where you failed. In the end, there is only one reliable guide. Find your place on the rising arc and keep moving. If asked what separates a spiritual person from a skeptic, I would not say that the answer is belief in God. It is clarity. Millions of believers still strive to be saved, whether they are Christians, Muslims, or of any other faith. They actively seek a clear perception of God that will affect them personally. Being saved is the same as awakening in consciousness, a perceptual leap that makes God real instead of doubtful. In awakenings, there's an insistence that outer things have dramatically changed, whereas to other observers, they haven't. The observer isn't separate from outer reality. The photons firing in the brain are exactly the same as photons organized into real objects. So inner and outer vision are not separate. When physicists declare that the cosmos once had 10 or more dimensions, all but 4 of which collapsed, the virtual state is where they went. A simple analogy might help. Let's say that you're thinking in words and then shift to humming a tune in your head. This brings in completely different laws than the laws that govern words. Yet you can move from one dimension to the other quite easily. In the same way, other dimensions exist outside the cosmos, but we do not access their laws, and if we tried, we would have to give up our own. This is why your body and mind could not survive passage through a black hole or travel beyond the speed of light. A packet of energy, photons, doesn't suddenly jump into material existence. Between the void and visible light, there's the quantum layer, which is accessible to our brains. At this level, light dawns as awareness of something, rather than simply being awareness in its pure state. This is the place where Einstein looked for God's mind. To an experimental physicist, a photon is a quantum of light. We know nothing about energy in its virtual state. This is inaccessible to any measuring instrument. But the virtual domain is the space between subatomic particles, the virtual field. A subatomic particle isn't a thing hanging out in space like a baseball drifting over home plate, but a disturbance in the field. The disturbance takes place as a quantum event, sometimes pictured as a wave. In the Vedas, the sages declare that the undisturbed state of consciousness is bliss. The disturbed state is the world. Throughout the universe, the photon is the most basic unit of electromagnetic energy. At the moment of the Big Bang, the universe exploded with energy that now forms everything in existence. A granite cliff is solid light. An impulse of love is sweet light. The firing of a neuron is an instant flash of invisible light. Yet, as dissimilar as they appear, when broken down, all things derive from the same primal stuff. However, our brains are designed to assign a time and a place to everything. Therefore, the invisible levels get merged into the visible, as if the flower or the statue or the holy water has become infused with spirit before our eyes. An awakening can be very confusing if the brain suddenly has to make sense of impulses not of this world. One is awake, alive, but without thoughts and free from the limitations of the body. The closest most of us come to this feeling is the first minute when we wake up in the morning or the last before we fall asleep. You could be a child again, and your familiar home could be any place in the world. In heaven, there are no cares or attachments. Eternal joy is the soul's constant state. All these qualities can be traced to the experience of waking up. The great difference between this experience and heaven is that the virtual domain isn't outside us. One doesn't go there, either in body or soul. It is more in tune with virtual reality to find it now. Certain parts of ourselves are designed to live in this world of time. It takes resolve to loosen our bonds enough so that pure awareness feels totally comfortable. We instinctively fall back on anger, stubbornness, righteous certainty, and so forth. Yet at another level, we do not even possess these qualities. Religious seeking, whatever form it takes, tries to regain that unattached level.